This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Oh my, that is me still today. I am Rick Moore after a lovely dinner last night and maybe an extra beer when I got home. But thank you for tuning in. I hope everyone had a lovely Saturday evening and we'll follow that through with a even better Sunday morning. A special thanks to those listening on the Lovingston 94.7 dial. What is the proper word for that? Does anybody know? I don't know. 94.7 frequency. That's the term I wanted. And thanks to 45fix.com for helping support us today. You can find them if you need a home improvement project. There's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, today's program, we're going to do a little different, an alternative view of Valentine's Day. It is now the 15th of February, and for a lot of folks, Valentine's Day is not such a popular and romantic holiday in the new year. And that's really what I want to talk about, and everyone can participate, certainly. We'd love to get your phone calls with questions and comments. One of our guests will be participating by telephone, and then we have Bill here in the studio. Bill, how are you?
I'm fine, Rick. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for coming in and participating. Again, we will have one of the guests participating by telephone. We'll be drawing her up in just a moment or two. Bill, your background in terms of romance and love life?
Well, I'm on my second marriage. First marriage is about 17 years, and now I've been married, I guess a break about 6-7 years, and then I got remarried, and I've been 4 wonderful years there.
And on your first marriage, you have a child,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And your second marriage, you are the stepfather to 2 children.
Yes, 2 boys, 2 young men.
So we'll be talking about what that is like, both of those issues. Let me see if we can dial out.
Hello?
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Is this my other guest by telephone?
I guess so.
Well, thank you so much for participating today.
Of course.
And this guest, we're going to make up a name. This guest didn't want to go full-fledged and shout out her life to everyone. Rusty, you have a good name? Sadie.
That works.
This is Sadie.
Sadie Hawkins.
And Sadie, a little bit about your background in terms of relationship.
Well, I'm 36. I am unmarried. I'm serially monogamous. I have lots of past long-term relationships. And I hail from a divorced family.
All right, so you hail from a divorced family. So we've got you on today to talk about what it's like to grow up in a divorced family.
Lovely.
All right, yeah, we'll try not to bring out too many hidden memories there. All right, and the phone lines are open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line. Because one of the guests is on by telephone today, if you have a question, I've got Sean McCord out there. We're going to write down the questions and read them to our guests over the phone. If you have a comment that you want to make, maybe something about your life, your relationship, either growing up in a family or you know, your marriage, etc., we'll work it out so that you can come on air and talk about that to everyone as well. All right, we'll start with Sadie, ladies first. I'm curious, in terms of Valentine's Day, is this a day throughout your life that you typically anticipate or dread?
I'm pretty neutral about it. I mean, I think it's definitely a Hallmark holiday. I mean, it's nice to get flowers, but I think it's nice to see that restaurants and floral arranging shops, you know, benefit from the people spending a lot of money, and probably the jewelry shops too. But I think it's overrated. Although it is nice to go out to dinner every once in a while.
Mr. Murphy, your take?
Well, I like it in the fact that we all go through our weekly jobs and hi, honey, bye, honey, go to work, run away. It gives you a time to remember how much you love somebody, and not that you need reminded, but it is nice to have a special little time to show a little extra and remind them how much you love them.
How about, Bill, when you are, because there was a time period between marriages when you were alone.
Right.
Or not with anyone at that time. What's it like for you at that time period?
Well, it's pretty much just another day.
But as Sadie said, the Hallmark holiday, is it bothersome to you to see all these commercials, to go shopping at the grocery store or anywhere else and see all these decorations for it? Does it remind you, gosh, you know, I'm not participating this year because I'm not with anyone?
You know, in probably the first couple of years after our relationship ended, you know, then it would tug at your heart a little bit, and you bring back some memories that maybe, you know, wow, I don't have that anymore. But, you know, time and other people tend to put that behind, put it in the past, and just move forward. And so I think, you know, again, as time moved along, that little tug at the heart kind of went away, and it was just another day, and I was in the restaurant business, and I knew it was going to be a very busy day, so I didn't have too much time to think about that.
Sadie, you mentioned serially monogamous relationships. Have you had Valentine's days when you weren't with anyone?
Oh, I'm sure I have. I don't really remember any of them because it didn't bother me too much.
All right, so the holiday is doesn't have bad memories or anything for you?
No, mm-mm.
All right. I'd love to hear from a caller out there, if especially if you don't enjoy Valentine's Day because it does have a bad memory, because you have been single for many years, and so therefore you question the need of the holiday, or you want to represent the side of folks who don't participate or don't enjoy Valentine's Day. 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. We are talking about relationship sort of reality versus the Hallmark Valentine's Day image that's out there. We have Bill and we have Sadie here on participating by phone. I'm curious, let's start with Sadie, because you mentioned growing up in a divorced family. Your vision of a normal relationship in a family, in a marriage, versus...
Well, I think I have a lot of good examples of that surrounding me. I would say that all of my coworkers, all of my friends, are all pretty much happily married, you know, couple of kids, nice neighborhood, maybe a dog and a cat, probably a small SUV, that type of thing. I'm surrounded by sort of the nuclear family model, which I didn't necessarily experience, but I think that that's sort of a normal... anticipated idea of what a normal relationship family would be.
And Bill, you your family itself before you got married?
Great family. I came, my parents are in their 80s. They're still married. They've been married upwards of close to 60 years now, and a fine example. They're always there for all of us, you know, but they're also, you know, they didn't shelter us or anything, but they showed us what a good relationship could be. They're always good to each other and affectionate, but you know, they also were able to differ in front of us, but and do it in a way of you know, showing that you know you can always have a different opinion, but you can work it out. But in the long run, I had a very normal childhood.
What I call the Rockwellian vision of everyone sitting around the table together and smiles on their faces. Is that what you're...
Not always, but you know, we had dinner conversations were there, and but we spent a lot of time together, which was the main part.
Sadie, you were talking about your coworkers seeming to have healthy marriages and relationships. What about as you were growing up, and you're growing up in this divorced family, what about your friends then?
Well, I actually am from San Diego, and growing up in San Diego for the first part of my life, I would actually say that most of my friends came from divorced households. So it seemed pretty normal to me at that time to, you know, be from a divorced family. When I moved to Virginia, however, I would say that we were definitely not the norm. Most people that we ran into and encountered when I was in high school and college were happily married and doing the normal thing. It was very eye-opening when I moved.
Because of the difference in the states? I mean, why do you think that is, that California has, or at least in San Diego, in your neighborhood, had one mindset for marriage, and in Virginia, in that neighborhood, had a different?
I'm not entirely sure. Maybe because San Diego's, you know, very, very liberal in their attitudes, or I don't really know. That's a good question. It's definitely different, though.
There are the occasional good questions here on Wake Up Call. It is 11:11 here as we talk about Valentine's and reality of a relationship in the modern world versus a lot of what we see on television ads and movies. For the Hallmark folks, feel free to dial us up, ask a question, make a comment, 979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Bill is here, two marriages, a father and a stepfather. Sadie here, growing up in a divorced family relationship. Bill, I asked Sadie this question. You grew up in a family where your parents were married the whole time and are still married today. Was that your expectation of normality?
I'd have to say yes. You know, they're a wonderful example, and you know, they got through, you know, their tough times, and they hung together. And I always thought that, yeah, you know, when you find that right person, that you're going to end up on the porch with in the rocking chairs and smiling at each other. You know.
And your neighborhood, your other family members, aunts and uncles, cousins, family, you know, friends that you had in school, were the majority of those relationships similar?
Yes, majority were. My dad was career military. We moved around a lot. We finally settled down in Northern Virginia, like when I was in the fourth grade, and stayed there through high school. But a lot of them had similar backgrounds, and you know, there are a lot of military people in that area. But there wasn't a whole lot of strife in the families of my friends. You know, I had one friend who did, who constantly battling with his father and all that. But for the most part, those families held together.
And what about your friend? The one friend you said had a difficult family life.
He spent a lot of time at our house.
Did he?
Yes.
So because of that, he had other, I guess, and I hate to use the word normal because that's part of what the program is about today, what is normal versus reality. So he had other homes to attend.
Yes.
All right. 11:13 with Sadie and Bill. Sadie, tell me a little bit about your family. Growing up, we have identified the fact that you had a divorced family. At what age did this happen?
I was five. It happened the day after Christmas. I remember that vividly. And my dad pretty much disappeared. He was a Green Beret in Vietnam, and I think he had post-traumatic stress disorder, and it sort of made a mess out of him. And he ran off with his secretary. So that just left my mom and me, and we were pretty close. She definitely had to work a lot to support us. And my grandparents, my dad's parents, actually stepped in and sort of were embarrassed that he left us. And, you know, I think they helped raise me. When my mom had to work a lot, they would just take over. And in that respect, I was very lucky and very close to my grandparents. Oh, and then, of course, when I was 11, my mom met a wonderful person back here and ended up marrying him when I was 14. And, you know, they went on to have a child when I was 16. So now we're sort of a normal family again.
And I guess I'm going to toss this comment in here from a caller who says, having married parents provide a model for successful relationships. Being raised by a single parent does not. Your comment, Sadie, on that? I mean, because you just said that your parents were divorced, or I guess he left at when you were 5, and then it took until age 11, or I guess you said 14, before your mother got remarried.
Mm-hmm.
That time frame between 5 and 14?
It was sort of... I agree with the comment that the caller made, because... You know, it's weird to see your mom dating and acting like a non-married person. I mean, it totally gives a child a different perspective, I guess.
And an interesting one that taught you things.
Well,
that might have been a little earlier in life, or one that's...
Yeah, maybe I learned a little bit more about relationships outside of marriage at a younger age. At the time, of course, I didn't think it was abnormal, but looking back on it, it's not the ideal way to raise children. I'm sure it was really difficult for my mom because, you know, she was still really young, beautiful, needed to have her own social life, and then she's got this kid that she has to, you know, deal with. So I'm sure, you know, it was a different dynamic, definitely.
There's another comment here from a caller that says, everyone is affected by Valentine's Day, even if, or especially if, single. And Sadie, you're single, and you said you've never been married. So, but you said it was you that you were indifferent to it. So, do you disagree with that comment?
I do. I mean, I think it's a created holiday. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of negative about it. I just think it's nice for the local businesses. I think it helps the economy, that type of thing. But I really don't think it's that important. If you're in a good relationship, if you're happy, if you're married, if you're not, well, it doesn't really matter. It's not like New Year's. It doesn't start a new year. It's not like the 4th of July where you celebrate the independence of America. You know what I mean?
I do indeed. Bill, what about that when your marriage is not at its best? You were divorced from your first marriage. Did you celebrate any Valentine's Days during that time period when things weren't so wonderful?
Well, when you're going towards the end of a relationship, and I guess you're starting to realize it, you could probably do it, you know, two ways. Maybe at some point you're trying to put the romance back into the marriage and using Valentine's Day is, it's always a nice segue into something like that. Or if you've given up, maybe it's like, well, no, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm not going to be a fake person and say, hey, I want to celebrate Valentine's Day when you're not happy with the person you're with. So I guess.
Go ahead.
You can go either way. You know,
And how did you do yours? I mean, you've provided us with two options here. Can you share with us which method you chose?
Well, unfortunately, we separated in March, so, and maybe I didn't see that coming, so I don't think I really had an opportunity to make that kind of call there, because by the next February we were living apart and working towards divorce, so never really set in that way.
Bill, Sadie mentioned her coworkers having good marriages. Do you know anyone, and again, let's take your parents out of this, but do you know anyone who you feel has near-perfect relationships?
I have a lot of friends who have wonderful relationships. I don't, does anybody achieve perfection in a relationship? I don't know. I think what you reach in a relationship is a feeling of, I hate to use that term completeness, but friendship and love and companionship, all the things that go together for making a good relationship. I mean, every relationship's going to have its moments, but if you can deal with them positively and move on, and then you have to realize that, boy, I'm in a good relationship because we can handle the bad times along with the good times, and you look forward to every day being with your spouse.
Bill, Sadie mentioned how to her it's sort of a indifferent holiday, and I'm going to ask her, so be prepared, Sadie, exactly what you do to celebrate on a regular basis, but what do you do? And your family, do you still get a card from your mother? Do you still give out any cards to your son? Is anything like that done?
When the children were younger, yes, we did it. But at this point, my son's 26, and he was spending Valentine's Day with his girlfriend. So, that really, it's a whole new step for him. But at this point, no, it's mainly between myself and my wife. Yeah. In fact, it is just us. And that's important to me because, she's the one I want to celebrate with.
Our first caller wanted to make sure that I mentioned that parents in a healthy marriage are a good model.
That's important.
Let me toss that out there because I'm sure that there are plenty of people who would say that just because you are married doesn't necessarily make a difference if it's an unhealthy marriage.
That's a good point.
Sadie, let me ask you, someone who grew up in a divorced family, what was it like in terms of holidays in general? Did you have to share time between your mother and your father or between other family members? Who I guess had representatives from both parents.
Let's see. So the fact that my dad left the day after Christmas has pretty much ruined Christmases my entire life for me. It's just a bad memory. That's one holiday that's been really affected. I don't remember ever having to share holidays. I was always with my mom. There were two Christmases, actually, though, when my father was living on a sailboat down in Guatemala and Mexico that I actually went sailing instead, but those were rare occasions.
What about grandparents? I mean, you didn't have to share time with your mother and your father, but what about, your grandparents? What about other holidays, Thanksgiving?
It's pretty strange. I actually don't remember any holidays from when I lived in San Diego. When we moved back east, it was always Thanksgivings and Christmases with my mom's sister, my aunt and uncle, and their family. And it's evolved to where it's just sort of the foursome that we have now, Easter included. We sometimes have other guests, but it's basically just the four of us usually.
Bill, you have a son from your first marriage, stepfather to two boys from your second marriage. How do the holidays get shared with all of that?
Fortunately, all sets of parents believe that they should spend time with the children. So there's a little bit of pre-planning involved, like Christmas Eve, okay, we'll have boys Christmas Eve, Christmas morning, and they'll go over to their dad's, and maybe the next year we'll reverse it, and then my son will come, he'll go to Pennsylvania with his mom to see his granddad, But we always try to make the arrangements so that we all have time to spend together. And I think it's important for parents in this type of situation that, you know, to make the effort to make sure that the children, you know, have time with all their families. And I think it's important to the children also. You can see it in their faces and, you know, the excitement of both places. But, you know, we have to plan it.
979-0919, call up, make your questions heard on air if you'd like. Comments also available. Sadie and Bill here participating in today's post-Valentine show about sort of the reality of relationships and the more alternative relationships rather than just the Norman Rockwell or Hallmark things that are out there. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today, highs 45 to 50. Cloudy tonight, lows 25 to 30. Sunny again tomorrow, highs 40 to 45. Just the upper 30s over in the valley right now. Pretty nice day, 42 in the valley, 42 in Lynchburg. Some clouds in Richmond where it's 43. And cloudy in Charlottesville where it's 39.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, let's thank Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting us today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. And you know, there's lots of radio stations and other music sources out there, but only one that brings you the wake-up call every Sunday. And the only reason we can do this is because of listeners like R.K. Ramazani, Maureen Dela Cruz, and Ann Evans, all who supported it during the fund drive this past fall. As well as a big thanks to the program underwriters, like the ones you're hearing from this hour, as well as Corner Outlet and ACAC. So stay tuned, tell a friend about the Wake Up Call and all the other programs you enjoy on WNRN, and be sure to support us in the upcoming fund drive this spring. All right, back in action. Feel free to participate today. We've got Sadie on by phone. Are you still there, Sadie?
Oh, yeah.
I'm waiting for her to hang up on me, as well as Bill here in the studio. Thank you both for being here today. Not always easy to talk about some of the more personal topics in our lives, and especially for me because I grew up in the Rockwell thing, too. My family, my parents are still married. I'm the weird one in the bunch because I'm not married and don't have any kids. But, you know, Thanksgiving is 35 people, Christmas is 40 people, all because of, you know, it's an extended, obviously a very large extended family, all of whom live in the same area. So it's, you know, great aunts and uncles and second cousins, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of people there, and it's hard for me sometimes to get a good look at the people who haven't had the same, I don't even know if blessing is the right word, when you have to sit and share Christmas with 40 people, but it certainly has its positive moments. You know, as I was preparing for this, Sadie, I'm curious, do you believe that your parents' divorce, especially at such a young age, has affected your adult relationships?
Probably. I don't know that I really want to be married. I enjoy living by myself, and I mean, other than the financial part, and I don't want kids, so that's probably not a normal way to look at relationships, and I'm sure that it's something that formed over the years because of, you know, the way I was raised. I don't know.
Do you think it would have been different if the divorce had taken place when you were a little older and maybe able to view it from a different perspective?
Possibly. I mean, I didn't really understand at the time why my father felt like he could just up and leave. And I, you know, to watch my mother's devastation through it and the way it changed our lives, you know, financially. If I were older and had understood more about what it's like, you know, to be married and have children and all that, I think I wouldn't be so negative about it or pessimistic.
And Bill, you mentioned how your parents have had, you know, this long-term relationship. What about you? I would think that you start your marriage with the expectation that it would be just like theirs.
Well, you know, yes, but, and I did, but it didn't happen. It ended. And, but I learned a lot from it too. And moving into my, my second marriage, you know, I'd given up on dating. I was just by myself reading a lot, and the dating scene wasn't a whole lot of fun. But then this wonderful lady stepped into my life, and I guess I approached it from a different point of view than I would when I was younger. I'd been through it, and you know, I looked for things that were more satisfying to me in a relationship, and so you narrowed it down, and you know, and you definitely find the right person the second time around, I would hope. So I lucked out, and I was able to actually sit down and think things through about how I wanted my relationship to be with my second wife, and I've been very fortunate.
What's were some of the lessons learned between marriages?
Not tolerance, but, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, you know. At that point in my life of getting remarried, you know, and the lady I was going to marry, we all have our habits and the things that we like to do, and you're not going to change anybody. I think a lot of people go into relationships and, well, I can change that. Well, you can't. People, you are who you are. You know, I make some adaptations. I know there's some little quirks I have that just annoy my wife. I'm sure I do. So I try not to do them around her, you know, but she's honest enough to say, that kind of bothers me. Well, the honesty is very important. I think the second time around, I've been able to much easier to tell her, you know, how I feel all the time. So more openness and candor in a relationship is one thing I learned. I think I kept too much in my first relationship.
Sadie, do you agree with that? That you can't change someone? Have you learned that?
Absolutely.
And have you learned, you're not married, but you do have your parents. Your mother is on her second marriage. You have a long time there, I think you said, between 5 14 before she got married a second time, correct?
Right.
And you have had multiple long-term relationships. Have you, or what have you learned from the things that you've witnessed and experienced yourself?
I've learned a lot, actually. I think that Murph is right that, you know, being able to compromise and not sweat the small stuff and tolerance and all that, the older I get, I find that I get much more stuck in my ways. And if and when I do get married, it's probably going to be a nice big challenge for that guy.
Yeah, all right.
Isn't
everybody
that a,
hear that?
Isn't that a challenge for all men and women?
Yeah. I think I'm going to be a really tough case, though.
There is hope, right?
There is hope. Do you think that that has... do you think that that's your particular personality that reflects back on that divorce?
Well, I definitely think it's my personality. But, you know, yeah... After seeing and going through that divorce and the aftermath, it's definitely made marriage not a priority in the things that I want to achieve in my life.
And by the way, feel free to call up and make a comment or ask a question for Bill or Sadie, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Sean is out front answering the phone. Sadie's participating by phone, but you can participate by phone as well. That it's reached the point now where the majority of marriages are either ending in divorce or what many psychiatrists, therapists would call unhealthy marriages. If you add the two together, you're well over 50%. And I can talk about my parents. Bill, you can talk about your parents. Sadie, you can talk about your parents. And we have two out of three that have lasted long term. But then if we talk about our own selves, Sadie's never been married. I've never been married. Bill is on his second marriage. So there's a little bit of, I guess, the best experienced here. And some of the things that I think are more, have become much more the norm than what you see or what you have seen on television for the last 2 weeks about where to find your best piece of jewelry or the type of card that you should send out to your to the loving folks in your family. Sadie only has a few more minutes with us, so let me do this real quick. I do want to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for helping support us today. If it's keeping warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter, Blue Ridge has the gear for you. Whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing, you'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Berkshire Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or at brms.com. So we'll take advantage of Sadie being here for just a few more minutes. Sadie, you mentioned being by yourself. One of the reasons that you may not get married.
Yeah, I like my alone time.
And I'm taking that when you say being by yourself, and one of the reasons you may not get married is that the enjoyment of alone time is supersedes the enjoyment of together time.
Well,
or at least there's a higher percentage in the 24-hour day.
I've lived with a couple of guys, and I just find that it's really hard to share living space with somebody. I'm pretty independent, though, so maybe that's weird.
Talk about that for a minute. You spent the majority of your family time watching your mother be independent.
Well, yes.
Is that where you got that lesson from? Because you also mentioned the difficulty in watching her have to raise you by herself.
I think it might be just genetic. I mean, she's pretty opinionated and has her own way of doing things, and I think I inherited a little of that. It may be that I witnessed that kind of thing, and that's just the way I have decided to be, or decided but turned out. I don't know. I think also just even in college I lived by myself. I did not want to have a roommate. It bugged me. So I think it's part of my personality.
I've asked you if the divorce had any effects on your personal relationships with boyfriends, etc. But what about relationships with coworkers, peers, etc.? How might it have affected your social relationships as well?
Well, the older I get, you know, these people are married and having kids, and so most social activity when someone has children is around children. I'm not a huge fan of kids, so it's definitely different, but, you know, I still have plenty of friends. We have fun together. We do things. It's not, I don't think it really limits anything.
One of the things that, as I was doing some reading for this, is the growing, if you want to call it problem, or certainly the growing percentage of alienation that exists out there today, the fewer social friends people have in their neighborhood, so many people who couldn't identify or do anything more than possibly wave at someone as they pull in or pull out of their driveway. so many broken families, leaving less connection among family members. Do you have a thought on that?
You're asking me?
I am indeed, Sadie. How about your neighbors?
My neighbors are, again, a little bit different. I live out in the country, and my neighbors are not very close by. So.
And Bill, for you?
I live out in the country now. There are a few folks around the area we wave to. And
nobody lives in a suburban neighborhood?
Yuck, why would I want to do that?
Not now.
I guess that's all part of the independent mindset.
I think when you have children, it's nice to have close neighbors with other children also. When I grew up, we had a whole gang of kids, and we all hung out together and did things. And even when I lived in town, in my first marriage, there were a couple people in the neighborhood that my son interacted with, and they had friends, and that was important to him. I think he really enjoyed that. But now, you know, don't see the children as much. We're just sitting on the porch.
11:40 on the wake-up call. Sadie, I'm going to let you go. You said that you needed to finish up about this time. So thank you so much for participating.
You bet.
And I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
11:40 on the wake-up call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
I think it's bad times now. The Hook speaks to folks who were around during the famed Depression. Albemarle County Lieutenant Todd Hopwood sits on the interview hot seat this week, and he does not plead the fifth. Not too often. And the Brazen Careerist lets you know what your walk says about your career. The Hook, thanking you for your generous support. And speaking of support, let's thank Alt Energy of Charlottesville, designing and installing solar energy systems in Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Alt Energy solar systems are now practical and reliable and can pay for themselves in just a few years while reducing your carbon footprint. You can also make a difference by showering instead of taking a bath and walking, cycling, or using public transportation whenever possible. More can be found at altenergyincorporated.com. And I know you won't go anywhere, but just as a reminder, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Perdue at noon. If French isn't your thing here at NRN, that means the time's gone by. And it also means 80s and 90s alternative music. Tune in for it next. That's Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, dial us up. Sadie's gone off the phone. I'm putting all the pressure on Bill here. So feel free to call up and make your comment or ask your question as we talk about relationships, sort of the non-Hallmark view on relationships. Bill, what about stepping in as a parent, becoming the step parent? What was the what was that like for you initially?
Initially, somewhat frustrating. Again, I was very open about it and talked to my wife about it, just because by this point, I'd already raised one child, and he was out of the house, and then having two others come in. I must say it was part-time. They spent a lot of their time at their dad's and then come see us on the weekends, and we had one of the boys with us all last summer. But it's developed, and I guess I had to learn what my boundaries were, because there are, you know, it's her children. They're not my children. They are my family now, and it progresses, you know, more. You know, each year we get closer and closer and closer, and it's been interesting, and it's been very fulfilling, actually, all of a sudden having more children in my life.
Do you get to be the grandfather type where you can say, oh, don't worry about what she said. You're here. You're with me. We'll do this. Because that's what my parents do to my nephews. I know your mother told you couldn't do that, but come on.
Oh, no. When I said I learned my boundaries, I learned to back my wife up. That's important. And, you know, I definitely had some different views on how to raise children than she does, but I respect her as the mom, and but she's done a wonderful job with them. They're great, great young men. They're not boys anymore, but and I can see the pride in her smile whenever she's with them. It's wonderful to see.
All right, let's take a call from Gary. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Rick. Great show this morning, as usual. I wanted to make a couple comments. First of all, you have found two of the most sincere-sounding guests on this topic. It's frankly been a pleasure just listening to them. They just seem to be so comfortable in their own shell and comfortable with talking about their past history. My wife and I have been married for 33 years. We've known each other for 36. I look back and try to figure out what in the world she's seen in me to stay with me for these many years, but it's been incredible. I'd like to ask your remaining guest, what was it for him that told him, wow, this is the one, either the first time or the second time? Because I never knew. My wife and I, we were together for a couple years, and it wasn't until she left, we were actually overseas, she left, and as soon as she was gone and come back to the United States, it took me less than a couple weeks to know that, well, I've got to finish up my duties also and get back to where she is. So if he could just talk a little bit about what it was that made him fall in love with his wives, I'd just hang up and listen.
Thanks, Gary.
Interesting question. I guess I'll do a little two-part here. I guess I'll start with the first marriage. And I was early 20s when I first married, and I met her in college, and we dated for a while, and we seemed to have a lot of the same interests, and we just enjoyed being together, and that was the thing to do. You know, this is what your parents did, and maybe I jumped the gun a little bit. You know, hindsight's 20/20. So let's jump ahead to the second one, and it was very quickly that I knew she was the one, because it was a feeling, and it was a huge feeling, and I still have it after 4 years, that when I think of her and I'm with her, I am at ease with myself and all my surroundings. Yeah, she makes me feel like she's the one for the rest of my life. That's the one I'm going to end up on the porch in the rocking chairs, looking at her smile. And you know, I guess the first one just took development. I was a young man and still learning and going into careers and all that. But now in this relationship, no matter what I'm doing throughout the day, if I need some support, I can just close my eyes and think of her, and I feel much better. And to me, that is the whole basis of why I will be with her for the rest of my life.
979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dial up, ask your question, make your comment as we talk about, I guess, the non-Hallmark types of relationships here. 1147 on the wake-up call. Bill is in the studio. Thanks, Gary, for that. That was a really good question. And Bill, you talked about in the first marriage having a lot of things in common. Is that also true of the second marriage, or is there a need to have a few things in common, but a greater number of differences?
I don't know what the balance is that you need to have a successful relationship, but you know, having some things in common, you know, to talk about and is important, but also having each other, your own interests and sharing them is important. You know, some of my interests, you know, she's a great lady. She will put up with me and listen to me talk about history because I'm a history buff, And I know it probably doesn't interest her at all, but she still smiles and listens to me. And but I don't know what that balance is, but there has to be time for yourself too. You know, she has her time alone, and I have my time alone, as Sadie said. Maybe not as much time as she needs, but I think it's important in a relationship, and it's a lot of balance involved in that relationship. And when you're talking about this whole subject, I don't know if you remember that movie Mrs. Doubtfire, and at the end there are all kinds of families, and something that Sadie said, the support from her grandparents. And I think when you tie this all into learning from others about relationships, it's not just your parents, and especially I think with the children of divorced parents, they're learning from their friends, from their, like you said, their cousins, the uncles. It's the extended family, I think, probably comes more into play for the folks that have come from divorced families.
When you were getting divorced, your first marriage, I asked you earlier about going into that marriage based on your parents' marriage and the expectations, etc. When you felt the need to end your initial marriage, did you have any guilt? Did you feel any, like you had let down anyone in your family because you weren't able to match what seemed to be normal at the time, but which I think many people now learn is not quite so normal?
Right. I initially felt, you know, that first phone call to my parents, I felt really bad that I had let them down. But then they just rose to the occasion and they supported me completely. And, you know, I was afraid they were going to be angry with me, but they weren't angry with me. They felt bad and they wanted to help me. So they stepped right up and to the plate and were a major part of helping me, you know, stay on my feet at that time when I was fairly emotionally distraught. But your parents can always surprise you, you know, if you're thinking of having that you have to live up to their expectations and then you feel you're letting them down. Again, it's communication. Like I said, they'll continue to surprise you with how understanding they can be.
Here's an anonymous comment from a caller in Charlottesville. Growing up, Valentine's Day was about expressing love to friends and family, not necessarily a boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, we talked about it a little earlier. I got a card, Valentine's Day card, from my mother that showed up Friday or maybe yesterday. And they're on a cruise somewhere down in South America. Now, I don't believe that the card came from there, but it shows that she made the time and effort for somebody to mail it on the right day while she was gone. I got a call or an email from one of my sisters that said, Happy Valentine's Day. My mother also sent my girlfriend a Valentine's Day card. And I think that that sort of goes back to what this comment from a caller is, that it's about expressing love to friends and family. Go ahead.
Well, it's like I said in the beginning of the show, it's one of those little holidays that pop up that, you know, help us remind ourselves how much we appreciate our family and our loved ones. You know, whether it's created for business aspects and all that, whatever, you know, it's how you perceive it and how you want to perceive it. If you want to ignore it, then just ignore it. If you want to be a part of it, then be a part of it. And I want to be a part of it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not like everybody gets off. It's not like ignoring Christmas. Sadie mentioned how she had a bad memory attached to Christmas. It's much harder to avoid that when everything seems to shut down, as opposed to Valentine's Day when all you have to do is TiVo through the commercials. Again, time for another call or two if you would like to make a comment, ask a question to Bill, 979-0919. Bill, to get back to being a step-parent and having a son from your initial marriage, how did you feel when he was getting advice from someone, parental advice from someone that you couldn't, like, step aside and say, all right, let's make sure we're doing this as a team, rather than, and now you're sort of doing it from opposite ends of the field?
Well, I'm trying to think back. Initially, you know, you don't want to create animosity for the child when there's a divorce. But then, you know, just by nature of divorce, at times there is some animosity. So it's, you know, how do you get by that? And all you could do is just be honest and ask them how their day was and what can I help you with, just like any other normal parent would do, and offer your advice and give direction as you normally would. You know, just try, you can't make it any different, actually. I think you just have to stay with the plan you had for how you want to raise your children. And hopefully that the advice they're getting on the other end, they can take it and make their own decision.
Can you think of any particular topic or decision where, you know, you were wishing for one thing and it seemed to be a different decision was made because it might have, you know, been some advice that came from your ex-wife?
Off the bat, no, I can't.
Or even in your current situation where maybe your wife and her ex, she's not having the influence on their decision-making that she wishes she had because those young men aren't living with her on a regular basis.
Well, I think that my wife, you know, would love to have her children with her all the time, but she realizes that's not the situation. And I have seen her many times when she hasn't maybe quite agreed with a decision that he had made or discussed with the boys. And for a moment, it seems it might upset her, but she picks up the phone and calls him and talks about it. And I think therein lies the ability to communicate and to your love for your children to rise above any pettiness and to do what's right for the children, and then communicate. And, you know, they can still have their differences of opinions, but I still feel that they work very hard at presenting a united front, even, and they work it out.
Do you feel that your current marriage is pretty close to the Hallmark advertisement?
I guess yes.
Is she listening, by the way?
I'm sure she is. She was cleaning the house.
Hi, Linda.
Left. Hi, sweetie. Yes, this has been a big change for me, and I've never been more satisfied in my life. So I'm happy as can be every day to come home, and I look forward to it. And, so, yeah, we're Hallmarks.
This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. You're listening to the Wake Up Call here on Sunday, the 15th of February, as we talk with Bill. We had Sadie on earlier who needed to go about post-Valentine style relationships. 11:58 here on the Wake Up Call. Drew Thompson up coming up next with Les Temps Perdue. Bill, as we finish up here in the last moment, I've heard you say a couple words as we went through the hour that you seem to, it's obvious to me that you feel that these are some of the most important parts of having a good marriage, whether it's meets the Norman Rockwell Hallmark vision or whether it's something else with being a stepfather, etc. I heard honesty. I heard communication. Anything else that you want to add in there? Respect?
Respect, yes. And we have to respect each other, and we come together later in life, and we've learned from our past relationships. And yeah, those are the three main things. And you got to have love there, too. And we do.
And according to Sadie, a little solo time doesn't hurt.
That's true.
All right. We're going to finish up here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
As Gary called in, sincerity, a big part of today's program, being open with the way relationships have gone in the past. Next week is the Oscars show, so we'll have all the WNRN folks in the movie side of things, and we'll be doing that. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.